idea to praise yourself as being an enikol is a chassidish thing. This concept of yichus, a person, you rely upon the coattails, you hold on to the coattails of someone. This is a stereotype of chassidus. In chassidus, unfortunately, there's a feeling that as long as you're an enikol, you're an or enikol, a big rebbe, you have a free pass in this world. If I'm the or enikol of the Baal Shem Tov, you know, ben achaben, I get a free pass. I walk into shul, everyone bows down, everyone gets out of the way, I get all the aliyos, I get all the kavod. You know, it's like a big deal. And this is a stereotype in the world of chassidim, oh, the yichus. In the Litvish Olam, by the Litvaks, which primarily used to be a Musar movement, okay, the Litvish Olam is really a product of Rabbi Shol Salanter, which is a Musar movement. And that's why it was a failure, more or less, because most people, the vast majority, cannot deal with discipline in Musar. It's who cares who you are? Who cares where you come from? What are you? What do you have to say for yourself? What have you made out of your own life? Yichus, yeah, it's very nice. It means you have a predisposition to do good, supposedly. I mean, it's not always true. But what have you accomplished for yourself? So it's very typical that the Chazon Ish, that was anything but a chassid, when someone would say to him, I'm an enikol of the Gra, that's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction.
Not impressive.
Right. It's like what you're an enikol. You're praising yourself that you're a meyuchas.
An accident of birth.
Which is purely a chassidish approach to life. That I come from good stock, and therefore, you know, I get a pass. And then he's saying, but you're an enikol of the Gra. The Gra was the person who tried very hard to completely abolish an armed insurrection.
I see.
An armed insurrection to take down the entire institution of Chassidus. So it doesn't go. It's a stira mineu bay to say that you're to praise yourself as being an enikol of the Gra. Now today you'll look at me like I'm crazy for saying this, because today everyone does that, right? Everyone today, if you're an enikol of anything, because today we live in a world where everything is one big mishmash. Everything to every chassid today is a litvak, and every misnagid is a chassid. Today it's all the same. Today it's one big melting pot. The melting pot is so great, people don't know the difference between their right and their left. It's all the same. The right is the left is the right. Everyone today is all the American, the global village, the Hasidim, they excel in learning. And the Misnagdim, they have Rebbes, and they go for brachas, and they do every rule and every minute that you find by Hasidim, you'll find by the Misnagdim today even more. And everything that was known to be the hallmark of the Misnagdim, the Hasidim have excelled to an incredible degree that puts some of the Misnagdim to shame. So it's all the same. It's all. But it used to be back in the day, Hayluchud the Hayluchud. There was no mingling whatsoever. You don't cross the line. So someone to say to the Chazon Ish, who really represents to a very large degree the spitz of the Misnagdim, that to say that you're an enikol of the Gra is not doesn't really make any sense. So the Chazon Ish, he didn't like it. He gave some motion that he didn't appreciate that statement. So then this fellow said to the Chazon Ish, let me explain to you what I mean. Now I like what he said. This really gets me. He says, when the Gra was mispalel every single day in Birchas HaTorah, v'harav na Hashem Elokeinu s'divrei saras l'b'chidu b'finu amcha beis Yisrael v'nihiye anachnu v'tze'etzo'ei amcha beis Yisrael. When he said the words v'tze'etzo'einu, he was thinking about me. He was praying for me today. I'm an enikol. I'm an or enikol. I'm a great, whatever, how many generations. So he was davening for me. it was davening for the whole Klal Yisrael, but on a personal level, it's etzoenu, our offspring. I'm closer in his mind to people who are not blood descendants of the Gra. So the Chazanish liked that very much. The Chazanish liked that. So this idea is a very beautiful idea, is that when you talk about Yichus, you know what Yichus is? In the Litvisha world, in the world of the Misnagdim, Yichus is about there was someone out there before you that davened for you. It doesn't mean you have any rights. In the world of the Misnagdim, being a Miyuchas doesn't give you any benefits, not supposed to, even though it does, but it's not supposed to. But at least you know that you have fans. You have someone on Facebook that gave you a like. There is someone rooting for you because he davened the Tze'etzo'en. That's part of the Nusach HaTfil, it's part of life, is to prepare going forward. It's it warms your heart knowing that someone is davening for you. And this is a beautiful Mitzudas David, how he learned Shan the Pasuk. We dwell upon this last week, and that is the people who are the Alufa Yehuda, Belibam, the leaders of Yehuda. He learns the Alufa Yehuda. This is a new concept. You can darshan it for today forever. All the different concepts, because we're being introduced truly to a new term. Last week, we learned about the Gam al Yehuda, and then the second time it said Yehuda, it said Beis Yehuda. And now we are being introduced to a third term called the Anshei Yehuda. The Alufei Yehuda. So we have Yehuda, Beis Yehuda, and the Alufei Yehuda. It appears these are three separate groups of people. Yehuda means the ordinary person. Beis Yehuda represents something a little bit more significant. And the Alufei means the leaders of Yehuda. The Mitzudas David doesn't seem to differentiate between the three. He seems to say all three are pretty much, all three are the same. And the point that he makes, which is unique, is he reads this into the Pasuk, which doesn't say anywhere, is the people of Yehuda, who is learning here, referring to the people who are victims of the aggressors of Goyg u'Magog, who have snatched them, have kidnapped them. The term we used on Friday was, they're human shields. Yeah. They're human shields. The people who are now the human shields for Goyg u'Magog, they're going to be filled with hope, because they are aware that their brethren in Yerushalayim are davening for them. Okay, when a person goes into surgery and he knows that he has a whole team of people who are davening for him sincerely, he's in a different frame of mind. Those are his words. Elu v'armu apostle K, I'm reading the Mitzvah one more time. Elu haboyim, those that are coming. Im ha'amim, the people that have been kidnapped, who are now serving as human shields for Goyg u'Magog. Al ho'ir b'ro'ay, someone they will witness she'inam nizaykim im ho'amim, when they witness the miracle that they're not being harmed, that all of the bullets and missiles are not touching them. Yoimu b'libam, they will say in their hearts, you know why we're surviving? It's because our brethren in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, are davening for us. Hine yoshva Yerushalayim chizku oisi. They have strengthened me. They have made me strong. Behafki'om b'Hashem, through their prayer to Hashem, lehispalel olai shlo eheye nilke imohem, that we should not be smitten with the enemy. Ki yoidim heima shabosi heina shlo b'tevais, because they know we're not here to harm them. They know good and well that we are here as human shields against our will for Goyg u'Magog, and they're davening that we should not be harmed, and that's why their prayers indeed have been accepted. And we're not being harmed. This act of humility, the people who are the human children are not going to assume that their success, the miracle that they're witnessing, is in their own merit. They're going to attribute the miracle to somebody else's merit. That's an act of humility. Okay, then Pasuk Vav says, I read the Mitzudas, Esalufa Yehuda, Hema Boimim Ha'amim. Oysam yaaseh kelapil esha bo'er be'etzim ritzen lemar heim yashtitzu bo'amim aboyim b'morim b'roisim she'er Hashem hoitzabam. They're going to be filled, and we're reviewing very quickly, we learn on Friday, They're going to be filled with fire. They're going to be filled with passion. Passion and with, you know, it says by Devar, Devar was an eshes lapidos. What does those two words mean? So the sum of Farshim learned eshes lapidos means that she was the wife of a man whose name was Lapidos. But other commentators learned that she was a fiery woman. What?
Very common name.
Jewish Lapidos?
Lapidus.
Lapidus. In English, the surname.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Lapidus. But there is a Lapidus, okay, Lapidos. But some learn that when it says that she was an Ishes Lapidos, it means she was a charismatic woman. She was a fiery woman. A woman that was all tzitzt. She was a very...
Like some of the Mepharshim say in this parsha, Shlomo is bas divri.
So what does it mean, bas divri?
She was a medaber. She used to talk
a lot. Okay, a lot, talk a lot. Okay. Tisha kabim yatsu loylam. I'm not going to go say something not nice over here. Maybe there's a woman listening in the background.
She was passionate.
I once told someone, someone who's a big talker, so he says, Chazal, the 9, 10 kaven of talk of Dibur came to the world. 9 were given to women, and I took for myself the last one. Okay, but in any event, we have over here, she was an Eshes Lapidos, a fiery woman, a woman full of passion. And that's exactly what it says over here, according to the Mitzvot 7, reference to the people of Yehuda. When the people of Yehuda now realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting them, they're going to be filled with passion to succeed, to launch a counterattack on the enemy. The human shields are going to turn into a weapon to destroy the enemy itself. We have repetition. I think we end the show with this, and that is the Yerushalayim is now going to be rebuilt in its former location. Okay, we had a long discussion about this. Either it means that physically, today, where the residents of Yerushalayim live is not where the residents of Yerushalayim lived in ancient times. You look in the nice coffee book, the next time you get a chance to see those books of Yerushalayim, I think you can see a good picture in the Art Scroll Temple. There's a book that was published as a joint project between Art Scroll and the Temple Institute. When you go and edit Yisrael on the tunnel tours are under the authority of what's called, I think, the Temple Institute. Okay, is that what it's called?
The Western World.
Fine, that whole organization, that Western World Organization, there's a whole institute, a whole, whatever it is, probably paid for by the State of Israel. There's a whole organization, and they have launched a joint project with Art Scroll a number of years ago to publish this outstanding coffee table book, with many illustrations and a lot of the material that they give their guides, the guides who lead the tours, that they present to the people. They're trained with this material, and it's presented in this beautiful, beautiful book. And in that book, there's this outstanding illustration from everything that we know historically of what Yerushalayim looked like during the time of the end of the Bayis Sheni. And it shows these very sophisticated bridges and passageways and where exactly the city, the residents of the city lived. They lived in a completely different section of modern-day Yerushalayim than where you'll find the residents of Yerushalayim living today. Today they don't live that part that was very densely occupied. Today is an open area. So it says here in this pasuk, you want to learn the pasuk according to this very simple reading, that's going to be restored. That when Mashiach will come, that section that was built up in ancient times will be rebuilt again. Obviously, there must have been a reason why they wanted to live in that part of the city. There must have been some advantage, which is not clear. Maybe it is clear, but that will be rebuilt. And then we had the homiletic interpretation, and that is that unfortunately, in Jewish history, there have been many who have made a mistake and assumed that in Golos, the beautiful and outstanding communities that had been established was the New Jerusalem. Berlin was the New Jerusalem. Unfortunately, many people make the mistake and they call Lakewood. They're so impressed with what has been accomplished and achieved in Lakewood. How could you not be? Did you ever go to the new cheder in Lakewood? It's literally, I was there for a wedding twice. It's literally like you're going into an airport. They have 10 parallel classes from kindergarten all the way. They call primary. I never knew that was primary. I asked my nephews, what grade? I'm going to primary next year. What in the world is primary? Did you ever hear that word before? I never heard the word primary. Kindergarten, you go to kindergarten, you go to pre-1A, you go to first grade. I never heard this word primary. This goes back to me. They have a whole different system than whatever it is, but they are from K to 8, a building, 10 parallel classes. You literally need a golf cart to get around the place. It's literally the size of an airport. I mean, it's unbelievable. So Kenai Nahara, Bliayin Hara, beautiful, but to go say, oh, Lakewood is an Ir HaKodesh, that is a chet godol, a horrible, horrible sin. Any Rashi will tell you that. The common man, they make a mistake, they say, oh, the Ir HaKodesh. That is a chet, a terrible sin to say that. We learn from history, there's only one holy city, and that is Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Nowhere in the world can you call it to be a holy city other than Yerushalayim. You want to call it Ir HaTorah, there's a lot of learning, okay, very nice. There's a lot of Gashmis there also in Lakewood. But here it says, finally, when Mashiach will come, then the real Yerushalayim will be built in its location, and no one will make this horrible mistake to call another city, another center in diaspora by the name Yerushalayim. That is an insult to the sacredness of Yerushalayim. Next. Next, Pasuk Zayin. Es Ohola Yehuda. Hey, my boy, my boy, Yosh Ohola Bamachne. This is what we got up to. This is what we're up to on Friday. Now we're going further. The Oled. Now we come to another term. Term number 4. The Ohola Yehuda. Remember, it's Yehuda, base Yehuda, Alufe Yehuda. And now we have term number 4, what's called the Ohola Yehuda, the tents of Yehuda. Who are these people? Heim Haboim Ma'amim, Yoshe Oholim Bamachane, Oisam Yoshi Hashem Barishoina. They will be first. Again, the Mitzudas really is repeating himself because he never differentiates between the 4 different terms of Yehuda. He always calls, he always explains them exactly in the same terminology, in the same fashion. That basically we're putting words into his mouth, we're calling them human shields. Human shields. They have been kidnapped. Jews have been kidnapped, and they become human shields for the goyim. And if you want to look at it, this content, if you want to elaborate, in a homiletic way, you can say that that's really what the goyim have done to Klal Yisrael today. Look at the big picture. The influence of Western civilization has taken hostages. The influence of Western civilization have caused intermarriage, have transformed, brainwashed people into believing certain values, and now when the Jews who are traditional, who are faithful, when they want to move forward, there's always this argument: oh, you can't do anything because who's going to suffer the consequences? The Jews who are in diaspora. There are 15 million Jews all over the world. So it's not right for Israel, for the state of Israel, to go and launch, to do something very daring and very aggressive in their own interest, because it's going to cause anti-Semitism throughout the world. You ever hear this argument? I read about this argument. People, they say to Israel, listen, you just behave yourself. Because if you're going to get in the news too much, then the Jews in America and the Jews in Australia, they're going to suffer the brunt of anti-Semitism. So just keep a low profile in Israel. Don't make waves. The state of Israel says, they say back, come make Aliyah. Don't tell us what to do. We have to do what we want to do. It's not our obligation to worry about anti-Semitism throughout the world. If you find it to be a problem, then come join us. The door is open, the law of return. Come to Israel. Come stay with friends. Remember that commercial? Come to Israel, come. That's their counter argument. So what's the end of the day? The end of the day is it's a stalemate.
This was also the argument, especially in the Frum community during the days of activists for Soviet Jewry.
Yeah.
You're going to harm the Jews in there.
Karen McCall is saying that when the activists back in the 80s, when there was a massive campaign to release the Jews in the Soviet Union, there were many American Jews that saying, don't. It was before my time. This whole episode was before my time. My father was very intrigued by this, the whole thing. My father told me a lot about history about this. But it's before my time, but I don't know all that much, but it seems that it was a very big deal what to do regarding Soviet Jewry. It was a very big mix of opinions in every dimension what to do. And Rabbi Cholov here is telling us that in those there was a group of people who were arguing not to make waves. Just don't get carried away, because it will cause a anti-Semitism. And the response is, it's not a perfect world. You have to do what's right.
You had if a lot of people don't go to Lasem during the Shabbos outside because they're afraid someone will go by and say the Jews.
Right, that's a different issue. Okay, that's a much smaller scale. Let's talk about a large scale. If the state of Israel will launch a major attack on their enemies, whether it's Iran, Syria, a major, major, massive, they'll take all their F-35s the United States gave them, and they'll go on and they'll do something that will be in the headlines for weeks. That will spark anti-Semitism throughout the world. Jews in America will be hiding in their basement because there are a lot of people who don't like us. And when they see Israel in the news, they're not. So really, what have we become, Gullus? We're human shields. What are we really then? But the fact that this argument exists means that we in Gullus are human shields. The state of Israel or the people living in Eretz Yisrael, they can't do what they want, what they feel is the correct thing to do, because they're being told, right or wrong, that it will cause a backlash of anti-Semitism throughout the entire world, to all the Jews that are scattered in the world. So in other words, what are we really now? We're just human shields. We're human shields. That's what it is. Isn't that exactly what the Mitzvah Stav is saying, Shah in the Pasuk? It's like Mamish prophetic. How he, Zechariah, is saying, you have to read the Pasuk out of the box. Don't read the Pasuk literally. You're in Yerushalayim, in the old city, and around the old city, there are soldiers with tanks, and on cavalry, with horses. No. Think big. Think about the modern world. The whole world is one big global village. We in America are human shields. We're telling the people in Eretz Yisrael, the holy people in Eretz Yisrael, don't fight back. Don't defend yourselves. Because if you defend yourselves, who are they going to take it out on? Us, here in America. Amish, human shields. And what's going to happen? So it says, see, that the people of Yerushalayim are going to say to us, listen, we got you covered. We're going to daven for you. We have a koich of tzvila. We will daven for you. And then they're going to do what they need to do. Or things are going to happen. And we, the human shields, are going to realize, look at that, nothing is happening to us. We're being spared. And then when we realize the miracle that we're being spared, we will take the initiative to fight and silence our enemies, whatever that means, whether it means in the political arena or whatever it means. We're gonna humble ourselves, acknowledging that our success is not our own doing, but our success is because of the tefillos and the kedusha that is found in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Okay, Let's go for it. It's all Yehuda. Hey, my boy, my arm, Yoshi, or Lima Machane, Oisin Yoshi, Rishon, Lakois, Brahmin, Haboim, Imohim, Ad Loyetz, Ansha, Yishlam, Lilochim, Bohim, Lakoisam. And we learned this really, really why, and Akash Baruch Hu, by design, is going to grant us in Chutz Liaretz success. First, before the people of Yerushalayim, so that the people of Yerushalayim don't become Balei Gaiva. They don't think, oh, look how great we are. It's only because of us. Only because of us. Everyone survives. Hashem over here is putting, it's a balance. It's a balance of power, balance of, everything is, it has to be properly balanced. Let's turn to the next page. The next page is on page 835. Leman lo sigdal in the mitzvah stavid, page 835. Leman lo sigdal ki im lo yashchitzu b'chem ad asher yetzu miyushlaim zer beis David. Because if they're not going to destroy, if the people of Chutz Liaretz, people of outside Yerushalayim are first going to wait for the people of Yerushalayim to come to their assistance, that will be damaging to the gaiva, to the esteem. They'll have too much gaiva for the people of Yerushalayim. Based there, based on Shah Yoshim Shama, Tigdal im Kain Tifartam, Al Tiferes Beis Yehuda, Haboim Imamim. Their arrogance will exceed the proper safety limits. Can you now let it have more than a certain amount of particles of pollution in a year? There'll be too much carbon emissions from the people of Yerushalayim. What I mean is there will be too much arrogance, too much pride, which is not healthy. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to arrange it that the people of Chutz Laretz are going to have one up over the people of Yerushalayim. You always find this in life. There's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow in his humor and in his infinite ways, he always creates this balance of power in every situation, in families and in institutions, where even though logically people think, I'm in charge, I'm the boss, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants in every family and every situation, a situation where the people who are really on paper think they're the boss, they're not the boss. They know that they are subject to the goodwill of somebody on the outside, like the state of Israel. Shalom, isn't that what he said? Is that the number one job of this prime minister of Israel is to keep the American president happy? That's a pathetic statement of reality. That says it all.
That says it all.
You got to keep the American. That means you basically have no authority. You can't do anything. Anything you want to do, you have to go and ask permission. You have to ask permission from another authority. That means you're a puppet. That's what it means. And that's everything in life is like that. How many henpecked husbands are there? How many men are there? Very macho. I know this is hilarious. I know a man who is so tough and powerful. He is so dominant. And I know as a fact, his wife has him wrapped around her finger. He cannot make a move without his wife's. And she, at the end of the day, she wins. And you look at this fellow, he is such a takif. He is such an iron fist. And then he tells me certain things that he has to do this, he has to do this. And I right away put all the pieces together. This is what his wife wants. So that's what's going to be. And the whole world is like that. The whole world is like that. Over here, he's showing that in Klal Yisrael itself, you'd expect the people of Yerushalayim who are dominant in this tukuv, in this era, Hashem is going to show them, you're not in charge. The people of Yehuda outside of Yerushalayim, they can take care of themselves. It will be a blow to the ego of the people of Yerushalayim to be humble. They should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the shots. Till game to fight about the rest of the boy, Michael's the him, Hoyo is the Marvel, his kids will become Arash Bays, Bobes, David, or Yoshi Shlaki, Pasachas. Yogin Allah Hashem, the Nechel Gagoy Gatsamash, Alem Hashem is going to protect them, Hanichol, Bohem, Hachalosh, Bohem, Yiskaber, Aloev, Kedech, Shogavadov, Alan Shemil Hantoi, the weak will prevail. It'll be like the Chanukah miracle. The Giborim biyad chaloshim, v'rabim biyad ma'atim. Kelokim, you Kelokim, v'chayim v'farish k'mal Hashem, they will be mighty like a god. V'lifnehem yavru b'mulchama b'reish ha'am. These people of Yehuda, they will go and they will lead the way. Pasuk tes avakesh lahashmid avakesh ve'esek lema osim kol ritzani lahashmidam. Hashem will grant them power to destroy the enemy. V'shafachti v'tzeh lema etein b'shefa al beis David rotzoin ham shochas chein al atzman. Beis David means the people in Yerushalayim. The people who are living in Yerushalayim, we are calling.
Why does it say based on Sefer's Yoshev Yerushalayim? It says twice.
V'shafachti al beis David v'al Yoshev Yerushalayim ruachein.
So it's two. It's like David, B'nai David.
Oh, so you're saying, okay, you're asking a question.
I'm saying based on.
Okay, I don't know the answer. It's poetic. No. Based on over here, no. Based on it, al beis David would appear to be the people of Yerushalayim. Are you asking a good question? I don't know the answer. He's not explaining. The Mitzudas of it here is that you're suggesting that there's a fifth term. You're suggesting that the Beis David here is a fifth term for Yehuda. We had Yehuda, Beis Yehuda, Alufa Yehuda, Ohola Yehuda, and now we're calling those people called the Beis David. Maybe in Echanami, maybe you're correct. Very good. Meir's Chidushei Rabbi Meir al Sefer Zechariah. He says that over here there are five terms. Beis David now is the fifth term for Yehuda. Perhaps we have to go read over the Pesukim again. Let's finish the Mitzudas and then we'll try to decipher the words, the pasuk according to the Mitzudas. Let's finish up over here. V'shafachti, which Hashem is going to give them a dosage of passion, a dosage of will. Poiseach es yodecha, Hashem opens up his hand, you open your hand, umaspia, and you satisfy l'chol chai, every single living creature, rotzoin, with desire. If there's no desire to live, then there's nothing. Okay, life is only as good as much as you want to live. If you don't want, it's not going to happen. They say this, very, very, very people who, they're very frightening stories of people that come to a certain point in their life and they don't want to live. And they just die. Okay, there are a lot of these type of stories. They just die. They don't commit suicide. They have no desire, they don't find for themselves a purpose. They have no rotzoin. And that's it. In order to live, the ingredient of life is rotzoin, is a will to live. The more ein davar oimed bifnei horotzoin. If a person wants, you'll get. If you don't want, you're not going to get. Before you go to a bracha from a Rebbe, you have to want. It's a waste of time to go ask a bracha from a holy person if you don't want. And the truth is, if you want enough, you don't even need a bracha. The whole thing is just a Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, at least, I don't know, maybe it was, oh, many Gedolim says, Rav Steinman, I think Rav Steinman said, I think it was Steinman, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe Rabbi Yashiv. They have Kabbalah. They have, what's it called? Kabbalah's Kahal? Is that what it's called in Eretz Yisrael? Kabbalah's Kahal. It means greeting people. All when these Gedolei Yisrael, they become celebrities, the people come banging on the doors. They want to come and get brachas. So a lot of these great people, they accommodate them, even though it comes at great expense of their own personal learning and growth. They all feel if the people really want, you know, if that I shouldn't be selfish. So they all have given up. People who people who are no longer alive, those who are alive, they give up an enormous amount of their day just to greet people, to give brachos, and to answer questions to the best of their ability. And they once, I think it was of Steinman, said, my brachos are totally worthless. It is a total waste of time for these people to come to me and ask me for a bracha. They think I'm going to have the power to give them a bracha. So why do I do it? I don't want to fight with them. I don't want to. If it gives them pleasure, so let them have the pleasure. Gesunde hate. I should deny them the hana. They, in their mind, they think they're getting a bracha from because of me. We all know it's not true. He says we all know that Hashem is the one who gives the bracha. You stand on your own merits. If they have such hana that it makes a difference in their life, okay. So I should al timne toiva mibalav. There's no need to go and deny a person the hana in this world. If it means something to you, all right, so good. Gesunde hate. I'm not going to go like pictures. This goes back with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a long time ago. That time, his lifetime, it became a craze. That was the first time when it became a total craze to take pictures. Today, it's also out of hand, but that's when it started, back in probably the late 80s, when every yukkel had a high quality camera, and every single that walked into his house, the first thing they wanted to do was take a picture, like a selfie, a picture. And he would do it, he would smile, he'd take a picture, and the people asked him, what's this all? He says, what do you want from me? It makes them happy. Al timne toiva mibola. And he joked, he says, when Mashiach comes, what's the first thing Klal Yisrael is going to do when Mashiach comes?
Take a picture.
Take a picture. The first thing that's going to happen when Mashiach comes, then I know the whole shot, how many brachas do you make? There's a riddle. How many brachas do you make on the Melech HaMashiach? They write this up. I don't remember. There's a whole collection of brachas you make when Mashiach comes. No. That's not what they're going to do on Mashiach. They're not going to be asking she'elos, how many brachas do you make on Melech HaMashiach? The erste zach, when Mashiach comes, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zechet Zag Levracha. The first thing when Mashiach comes, take a picture. That's the world that we live in. Okay, but in any event, over here, he's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give these people the passion to achieve, to do all these incredible things. Rotzayin, will, desire. Hashem will give. Now this is an amazing thing, is that you find many times people, they have no rotzayin. They have no desire. They have no desire to live. They have no desire to get a job. They have no desire to get married. It's a big, big problem. A lot of people out there. The problem is they just don't want. What do you do? I don't know what you do. You have to want. If you don't want, it's not going to happen. Poiseach es yodecha, Hashem, you open your hand, umaspia, and you grant a full dosage of a full dosage to the top, overflowing. L'chol chai, every single living creature with what? Rotzayin. A desire to achieve, to have, to be rich, to be smart, to be a Talmud Chacham, to have children, to have a wife, to have a family. That's where it all starts. Because if you don't have the Rotzayin, then all of the brachas, all of the opportunities are worthless. The Iker always comes with Ratzayin, and he writes over there, the Mitzudas David writes over there, when Mashiach will come, this is the ultimate bracha that Hashem will give this world. Hashem will give people who are depressed, will give them Ratzayin. That's how we learn Pshat and the Pasuk. Mitzudas David is like, you know, he seems to be very simple, you know, very, very Pashat Pshat, but some of the most profound and deepest ideas in Nach are all in the Mitzudos David. Not in the Radak, not in the Malbim, but in the Mitzudos David. V'shafach li al beis David v'al Yosha Yishlaim ruach. Look at these words. I will pour an abundance of, on the people of David, Yosha Yishlaim, a spirit of chen v'sachanunim. What do those two words mean? The word chen is one of the most impossible words to translate. There's an impossible word to translate the word chen. And what does it mean? V'sachanunim, supplication. What does that mean? It's also an impossible word. It's very, very related. Sachanunim comes from chen, What's the difference between the word chein v'sachanunim, which has this middle letters of the word sachanunim is chesnun? I don't know what these are. It's very hard to translate these words. Everyone over here, you can bet your bottom buck that every one of the commentators is going to have give you a PhD thesis on what these two words mean. And you can go and you can study the entire Tanakh and make comparisons, because these words are impossible. And here the Mitzudis David says, substitute these two words for one word. It's called Ratzon. And if you're really smart, you can make a gematria, make some, you know, some convoluted, corrupt gematria and pass it off as some, you know, some vision you had in the middle of the night, and you'll score some points at a Sheva Brachas to translate those, to make believe the some type of, but he translates the words chein v'sachanunim to mean ratzon. Read the words of the Mitzudis David. He says b'shavachti ritzoin eloymar. Whenever the Mitzudis David says ritzoin eloymar, fasten your seatbelts. He's gonna pull something over you that it does not say in the pasuk. It's like some divine inspiration to go and tell you something to inject. Things that it doesn't say, etain b'shefa, with an abundance, al beis David, ritzoin, the desire, hamshachas chein al atzma, the desire, okay, Hashem will give the desire, he adds that word, it's a very powerful word, they should have put that word in bold, because that's the key word here in this pasuk, the desire of to draw upon themselves, Chain alatzman uritzoin. You see, he repeats it. Hashem will grant the people the desire, haftsaras, to break forth in sachanunim, in supplication lefonai, the desire to daven to Hashem, to ask Hashem. That's amazing. You go to shul. How many people really want to daven? It's sad. It's very, very hard to say the same words every single day, three times a day. It's impossible. Most people, it becomes a mental block. How come they don't do studies about this? In psychological studies about this is, if you do something every single day, three times a day, your mind, it becomes like a brick wall, more than a brick wall, like layers and layers and layers of David Shmona Esrei now. Read the words. Why can't we concentrate and just translate in your mind every single word of the Shmona Esrei? Why is it so hard? When was the last time you ever went through the entire Shmona Esrei from Hashem Sefosai Tiftach to Oiseh Shalom Bim Raimav, and you clearly translated every single word in the Shmona Esrei? Do you remember the last time you went, you didn't miss, no, your mind didn't wander even for 1 second, every single word? What's so hard? If you read it in the newspaper, the New York Times, you read the Wall Street Journal, you read your blog, you go online, you are able to concentrate and read through an entire article that has a lot more words than the words of the Shmona Esrei. The average article you read in the New York Times, or any article in the media, online or in print, has more words than the entire Shmona Esrei.
You're not translating those.
So you're not translating the Shmona Esrei either, because it's second nature to you.
That's a goal.
Let's say you're an Israeli.
So that's a handicap to begin with.
But even it's when you say the Shmona Esrei, you're not translating, because you know the words are second nature to you by now. You know what the words mean already. You know what the words mean. If you read an article, any article online or in media, any article, the average size article has more words than the Shmona Esrei, and you have no problem. You plow through it, especially if it's interesting to you. Okay, if you're following the news and it's interesting to you, it's something which appeals to you, just go right through it. You won't even be reading it if you didn't find it interesting. And within 5 minutes, you're done, and you know everything. And Shmona Esrei, has there been a day in the last 20 years that you were able to go through the entire Shmona Esrei without a thought a foreign thought. Why? Why is it so hard? Why? Yeah.
I was just thinking that the Shemon Esrei, it takes the place of the Korban. The Korban Tomid is twice every single day. And it's the same exact. The morning and the afternoon one is the same exact. Same on Yom Kippur, it's the same on the Shabbat, it's the same on Thursday. So you see, I don't know why, but the Chazal want the same exact thing.
Same exact thing, Tomid, Tomid. Right, but why is it so hard? Why? You know the answer, because we don't want. There's no Ratzon. That's why. There's no Ratzon. There's no desire. The answer is because it doesn't interest us. Why not? For many reasons. Let's be realistic here. Let's not make believe. Everything is whitewashed today. The reality is, we're just not interested. The news is interesting. If you're a follower of Trump and there's something big happening in the news, it's interesting. If there's something in finance, you're invested in certain stock, it's interesting. If you're in the medical field and there's something new about the vaccine, it's interesting. There's a rot sign. It just interests you.
Shemoneh Esrei is a spiritual thing. We're usually looking.
So why aren't you interested in spirituality? It's no different than anything else.
What do you try?
Are you interested in spirituality? You're not interested in spirituality. Let's reduce this to the most mundane physical thing. If a person is interested, forget about it. There's no difference spirituality and the stocks or baseball. People talk about it. And after 9/11, going back so many years, 9/11. There was a rub that was darshing. It was the day after 9/11. It was the 12th day of September, the year 2001. And he was in the street, and he was standing in front of a magazine, something like a newsstand, and he was just standing waiting for a bus. And he said, one person after another came to the newsstand, and the only thing they wanted to know was the scores in the baseball game, and they were obsessed. They were shakua. They were fully immersed in the sports section. And he couldn't get over it. The world has turned upside down, and all these people care about is sports. Because sports interest them. That's their life. That's their life. And if it interests you, if there's an interest, there's a rot sign, then you're going to pay attention. It's just simple as that. You don't have to tell me, oh, there's a satan. You'll tell me the religious answers. The reason why you can't get daven Shemoneh Esrei, that you'll ask the average person, if they'll confess to you that they haven't had daven even one Shemoneh Esrei in the last 30 years, where they were able to make it from Hashem Tzifasai Tiftach to Yilur Otzai without a machshav azara, without a foreign thought coming into their mind and saying every single word.
You don't read an article without a foreign thought coming into your mind.
No, it's not true. No, it's not true. It's not true. Even Mr. Elman, I accept what you say, but even if you will tell me that when you read an article, a foreign thought comes into your mind, if you can put in numbers the difference, Davening Shemoneh Esrei, go from zero to from the beginning to the end, tell me a number between 1 and 10, the degree of concentration you had with the lack of distractions. Give me just a raw number between 1 and 10. I can go to doctor, tell me your level of pain. From 1 to 10, what's your level of pain? Give me just a raw number. You daven today shachas. You daven Hashem sifosai. You came to Yehiyu L'Ratzon. Put down, make a diary every single day, just for one tefillah, for shachas. Put down 1 to 10, what was your davening on one number? 1 and 10, whatever it is. Okay, now eat your breakfast. You come home and now take out the newspaper. Browse the newspaper, find an article that interests you. And read, and which has the same number of words as the Shemoneh Esrei, and read through the article.
I haven't read a newspaper.
Put down. You go online, though, right? You go online. You go read online. Online.
I just look at headlines. I never read
articles. Headline. All right.
I don't want to get aggravated, so I don't read them.
Okay, but let's talk to other people who look. Then go read through some type of thing which you read, and then put down the same criteria. The same. Put down a number. I guarantee you, the number you're going to put down for reading some article is going to be much higher than the number the average person will put down for the Shemoneh Esrei or for davening. Okay, you'll tell me a machshav, fine, and it's not going to be perfect, but put that in just a number. It's going to be higher. If you're davening, it's going to be a 5. The newspaper article will be a 9 or an 8.
I don't think so.
Okay, you're a very holy person. What can I tell
you? A holy person, I think.
I'm talking about myself then.
Most people strive to concentrate as much as they can.
Okay, but could, go. Take a poll. Today, Baruch Hashem, it was a very beautiful day today. I davened Shachar and Chaim Lulim today, and I have not seen so many people in the Beis Medrash in a year and a half. Davened every day Chaim Lulim, it's pretty empty. COVID was, they shut down for 4 months, and then with these crazy machitzas, quadrants, and this, and glass cages, and tape on the floor, and all these machines of taking your temperature. Like mamash, you think you're in a medical facility. Little by little, things began to disappear. Slowly, little by little. And today, but still, people didn't really come back in full, they didn't come back. Today, it was a bris. There was a bris today. I don't know who made the bris. I don't even know the person. One of the Rashid, sometimes one of the Rabbi Khan's family. There were a lot of people. There were mamash, a lot of people. It was probably even dangerous. There were a lot of people. And wow. It's like, wow. Could it really be that the world's gonna one day, this hope that there's a possibility that the world will one day return to some degree of normalcy? I don't know. Don't make an eye in the horror. And New York, Brooklyn is not the rest of the world, is still very much in lockdown. Okay, to a very large degree. In India, it's mamash was going in India. Read the news. India, it's bikuach nefesh. They're really it's a meltdown. They can't keep up. The hospitals are totally overwhelmed. So Rahman will stun. It ain't over. But they get a sense. Now, if I would go at the door when davening was over today and take a poll, everyone who walks out of the door, I want you to tell me on this level of 1 to 10. Tell me honestly, what was your degree of concentration through tefillah? Don't tell me anyone, I'm going to get over there at 10, 10, 10. I get probably 5s and 4s. Let's be realistic. But when you go down to the bris and you eat the food, it's interesting, the food. It's very interesting. Everyone will tell you exactly what kind of bagel they want. If they want to have the bagels with all the seeds, with none of the seeds, it should be this color, that color, black and brown, racial profiling. Racial profiling. You go to bris. Every bris, when there's racial profiling, when you come to the bagel, there are different color bagels, different types of seeds.
I haven't seen company.
It's a racial profiling. Every bris is as mamish. How could they allow such a thing? All the different types of bagels.
Scare me.
Then they're going to start asking, the lox, the fish. Was the fish a male or a female? This is serious business in this country. Okay, so it's much more interesting, the food. Why? Because there's rotzayin. Because you this is what interests you. Davening, unfortunately, doesn't interest us. Why? I don't know why. It is what it is. Golus. So here there's a beautiful, beautiful bracha. This pasuk is off the charts. Beautiful, where it says, Veshofachti al beis David v'al yoshve Yerushalayim. This pasuk is off the charts. What this pasuk says, the beauty of this pasuk according to the Mitzvot David is heartwarming. The day will come when Hashem will send forth an abundance of ruach, which the Mitzvot David translates as desire. A person will have rotzon for what? Chein v'sachanunim, to supplicate before Hashem. Davening will be interesting. Davening, when a person will daven, he'll look forward to it. It will be an opportunity to communicate, to find in the Shmona Esrei nuances, ideas, concepts, a unique opening to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will give men poisechas yodecho masvil l'chol chai rotzoin. What kind of rotzoin? A rotzoin to daven, to find chein and sachanunim in the eyes of Hashem. Look at the words of the Mitzvah Yisrael. This is awesome. The last line on the page. V'shafachti ritzoin eloimar. Etein b'shefa al beis David v'goymer and Yerushalayim. Ritzoin, the desire of to what? Hamshachas chena latzman, to bring upon themselves favor. Uritzoin, the desire, havtzaras of breaking forth, a breaking forth of sachanunim, a breaking forth of supplication lefonai. Okay, that's quite a statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give man, will help him, will help man have a desire to dive into him. It's all a matter of what you want. And unfortunately, we don't have that rust. You go to Eretz Yisrael, there's one thing you cannot, everyone tells me
doesn't
this.
Doesn't everyone have a rust to daven for what he wants?
The Mitzvah says they don't. Go quick. It's theoretically, you would think so, right?
Yes.
Go to shul. Listen, I maybe I have such a negative view. I'm just trying to tell you how negative I'm about myself. But I don't think I'm any different than anyone else. It's a struggle. Who's not going to admit to you that davening is a struggle? Well, I don't want, davening is just easy, it's just natural.
The more we want, the more we need, the more we daven.
Everyone has very great needs. No one that doesn't have very great needs. Everyone has needs, either for himself or for his family. Everyone has needs. But you don't find people running, coming a half an hour early to daven and saying every word religiously with fervor, passion. Why not? Don't you believe? Don't you understand that that's how you're going to succeed? Well, obviously, we have a problem with that. Obviously, we're much more interested in other things. We're much more interested in the, we have other things that interest us and touch upon our neshamas.
Why? Are you saying that? Because it's hard to concentrate through the whole davening. We're more interested in other things.
That's a reality. People can sit online and surf the web for hours and hours and hours without any distraction. You can sit. I can do it. I'm telling you, I can sit for hours. You go on Instagram. I'm subscribed to only 100 all these Jewish things. I can literally sit there the whole day. It's sakonis nefashas for me to open up that app. And when it comes to davening, I'm looking at my watch. When is this going
to
be over?
I find it hard to concentrate through the davening, but I don't find it anything else. You know, I just find a lot of other things boring.
Okay, there are many things. Doing taxes is very boring, right? Doing taxes is torture. That's right. But there are many things in life that you don't find boring. Everyone.
Rabbi Leitner, you're 100% right. But you can say like the Baditshuva says there. You know, anyone davens, the way he davens, even the words all make messed up. But
Hashem takes the letters of the alphabet and arranges it.
At the base was akin dav.
Yeah. That's a bidyevet. That's not a lechatchila.
I'm saying it's bidyevet.
Right. We're striving here for more. This is the koilah. This is the koilah over here. This is an advanced center for the advancement the advancement of Ratzon. That's what the koilah is about. An institute for the advancement of rabbinic Ratzon, rabbinic desire.
Ooh.
This is it's better. Like I told you, I joke. I got into a lot of trouble. I used to daven. They put on the air conditioner down to 63. Oh, chutzpah. I got sick at 60. They like it cold. The people there, they like it cold. So they put the air conditioner down. The temperature should be 63 degrees. Excuse me. What about people like me that like it 72? You know? No. You don't exist. 63. So I said, and I got back to the person in charge, we're going to rename this place the Institute for the Advancement of Rabbinic Refrigeration. And I got a lot of heat for saying that. Okay? But in any event, this is the Mitzvah Stavet. It's a powerful, powerful statement of the Mitzvah Stavet. We're out of time. We're going to stop over here tomorrow. We really didn't even go forward. We just chazed pretty much from Friday. But that's okay. We'll start, take a break here. And after the break, we're going to talk about a little bit of Pesach Sheni. But I really want to start talking about Lag BaOmer in Yirtza Hashem this Friday. Friday is Lag LeOmer or Lag BaOmer, Lag BaOmer, and the Yirtza Hashem. We'll talk a little about that after the break in about 1 minute, 60 seconds.
Did you have cake or cake?
I had cake.
Did you wash?
No.
Did you wash or what?
No.
What did you wash?
I did wash.
Let them eat cake.
I went over there on the Did you wash?
I already had matzo today.
I didn't ask you if you had matzo. Did you wash?
No.
Let them eat cake.
Oi. You sure you don't want a little matzo?
No, no, no.
You want an apple?
No, no.
You want a piece of cake?
Thank you very much.
No. You can have apple.
Only if I want to. So.
Okay. You don't want apple?
Michael, who should I vote for mayor?
The mayor?
In the primary, right? I actually switched my registration so I could vote in the primary.
Democrat? You need to switch back to Democrat?
Yeah, so I could vote in the primary because they're
wait and see. Wait and see. There are none of them that are in.
Has Yang
so far.
Come out in favor of what we want?
Yeah. There's time yet for that.
He has?
Yeah. The general.
I don't know if he's real
yeah,
or not.
I just saw a picture of Ina Vernikov down at King's Highway yesterday. My activist friends regard her highly.
Ooh.
Ina, you read my posts, right?
Yeah.
Ina Vernikov?
Yeah.
Who I met when I went to the pizza store to pick up coffee last week.
But she's a Republican. No?
She's running on the Republican line, Barack Hashem.
So I'm sure she'll get the nomination.
She's unopposed so far.
Right.
But my... And like I said, I'd heard of it.
There's always no chance for a Republican to win.
Don't say that. This is not a citywide election. This is a city council. If Deutsch could win, then she could win too. But mayor? A Democrat, any Democrat is a lost cause there, but we'll see.
Well, there's some who are worse than us. Like, no one, De Blasio is
what, you think Scott Stringer is anything to write home about?
No.
Okay.
But I think that
he's as weak as they come.
I don't know. You want to buy the least worst one.
You'll probably end up voting for Curtis, right?
Curtis
Lehman.
I would vote for him.
He's running?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'll go for he has to get past the primary.
No,
where have you been? Of course he's running.
He's a nice guy. He must have Jewish blood somewhere.
You mean it mixed in with that Polish blood?
You picked it up?
He's very good.
As somebody said on the radio today, he knows every block of New York City. I mean, I can't tell you how many rallies he's come to for over the decades that I've seen him. Welcome to him. I mean, he's a bit wacky, but, you know, I think we can stand that. He's got his own language. Somebody once counted 150 Sliwa-isms. if you ever listen to him, you know what I'm talking about.
Rabbi, today's a good chance to have matzah and coffee. If you don't have the rough sign, the caffeine will take care of it. Yeah? And Shabbos is a matzah that we made in Israel.